Hello and welcome to another episode of the Third and King podcast. My name is Tej, and today I'm going to talk about the Giants' president of baseball operations, or at least the Giants' current president of baseball operations, Farhan Zaidi. There have been some rumblings recently that the Giants will be moving on from Farhan after this season, and the rumblings have gotten louder over the past few days, so I wanted to take a moment to discuss my thoughts and opinions on the situation and just kind of the state of the Giants after Farhan took over. Giants reporters even talked to Farhan in Arizona, since the Giants are playing the Diamondbacks in Arizona this week, and he said he's unsure of his position going forward. Kind of hard to not read into that, but it does seem like ownership is at least considering making a move, and I kind of wanted to just talk about that and express my opinion on whether I think that's the right move or not. I do have concerns that the team could stall or even take a step back if they make this move this offseason. We know that Farhan and Bob Melvin are kind of in lockstep. Their contracts were put in alignment with each other, so Farhan was given an extension to align with Bob Melvin's initial contract. And then anytime you're making a change at the top, it's just inevitably going to shake things up throughout the organization. And it's possible that because of that, the Giants end up in a worse spot. You know, hard to say though, it's possible that whoever they bring in, if they make a move, will hit the ground running. At least in year one, nothing is terribly disruptive, because I do think, even though the Giants have been underwhelming the past couple of seasons, that they are on the upswing. And we'll talk about that in a little bit more detail as we go. So yeah, it's kind of hard to say. I do have concerns that if somebody else were to come in at this exact point, that again, things could stall or maybe even take half step back or a step back from where they currently are. So I was browsing Twitter earlier today, always dangerous, and I saw a comment saying, "Whoever takes over as player of baseball operations will have a good landing spot in a great situation to succeed compared to where the franchise was when Farhan took over. No horrible contracts, plenty of money to spend, young players ready for big roles." And I think this comment was aligned with the thought that the Giants should move on from Farhan. And I thought that was funny. Maybe it was in defense of the job that Farhan has done. Because if all of those things are true, no bad contracts, plenty of money to spend, young players ready for big roles, we'll get into more of this later, but I think organizationally they're also in a better position. Doesn't that mean Farhan did a good job? And that's the question that got me thinking and inspired to record today. So let's just kind of dive in and talk about it. First things first, let's level set and talk about the state of the Giants when Farhan took over. So it was after the 2018 season. In 2017, they had just gone 64-98. Which is a terrible record, obviously. They just missed 100 losses, and then weren't much better in 2018 when they went 73-89. Those two seasons were way worse than what they've had since Farhan took over. In addition to that, they had a terrible farm system. They needed to modernize their organizational infrastructure for the modern game. This isn't really an old school versus new school argument. I think there are certain aspects of old school that work well. There are certain aspects of new school that work well. So that's not what this is. But there are certain things that really just need to be quote unquote new school. You know, you need analytics, especially for your minor league system. You need it for developmental purposes, and you need it for player evaluation. You can't just use the eye tests, you know, like was used in old school methodology and was really heavy in like the Brian Sabian, Bobby Evans regime, which was very, very scout driven. Which, again, not to make this scouts versus analytics, I think you need both, right? The analytics won't tell you everything. The scouts won't tell you everything. You need a nice blend of both. And I think a perfect example of this is that before the 2018 season, the Giants traded Brian Reynolds for Andrew McCutchen. McCutchen, while still a solid to good player, was 3 years removed from being a star. And Brian Reynolds would debut in 2019, so only the year after, for the Pirates, and immediately began outperforming him. You could even make the case that if the Giants would have just called up Reynolds in 2018, instead of trading him away for McCutchen, that Reynolds would have just performed as well, or if not better, than McCutchen did that season, let alone the subsequent seasons where Reynolds has been extremely valuable. This isn't to bury the team for one trade, but I just think that's extremely indicative that they did not have the right infrastructure in place. They weren't making good decisions. That was like a grasping at straws type of move, which ended up being a bad one. So when Farhan took over, that was priority number one, setting up and modernizing the infrastructure so that they could make better informed decisions about the entire organization, not just at the major league level. The next priority, speaking of that, was the farm system. This is the part where I think we can be critical, but also recognize that the jury's still out. Since Farhan took over after the 2018 season, his first draft was 2019. Unless there's a super fast mover, typically 2024 is about normal for when we'd see players drafted in 2019 start to debut and make an impact. For reference, Elliot Ramos was drafted in 2017 and just made his impact this season. That was probably an outlier. That's a little bit longer than usual, but these things are not linear. People have been saying that all year, especially in reference to Ramos. When your first draft is 2019, typically, you're not going to see impact players from that draft, at least for a few seasons. But we are seeing that now. The first round pick from that year has battled injury since being drafted in Hunter Bishop, so we haven't seen him yet. But this is also the draft where the Giants selected Tyler Fitzgerald and Grant McCray, who are up and producing for this year's team. They're young and growing and have some things to work on, but you can see some promise there. And then they also drafted Caleb Killian, who was part of the package that netted the Giants Chris Bryant in 2021. And just as a quick aside, that was a great trade and also a great decision not to re-sign Bryant. Don't want to get too far into that, but just wanted to mention that. So that was the 2019 draft. The 2020 draft gave us Patrick Bailey, who is an elite defensive catcher that has shown flashes of offensive greatness. It got us Casey Schmidt, who is an elite defensive third baseman and can hold his own at other positions around the diamond. He also mashes lefties. He's got a lot of work to do in the batter's box against right-handed pitching, but again, you can kind of see it. And then it also got us Kyle Harrison, who's still a promising young left-handed starter, even if he hasn't quite lived up to the expectations yet. That's a solid draft. 2021 is looking like a little bit of a miss from a high-end talent perspective. But they also drafted Mason Black and Landon Roop that year, who seemed to be solid. Not to mention this draft occurred in the midst of a global pandemic. That almost certainly impacted how they scouted, who they scouted, had to have played a role in that. I don't want to sit here and review every draft, but I thought it was worth making this point. A lot of people are angry that the prospects haven't hit yet. You know, it's been 6 years. I just don't think 6 years is enough time for baseball prospects. And while I think it's fair to say that it's moving in the right direction between Bailey, you know, Fitzgerald, Ramos, Birdsong, even Bryce Eldridge, who is moving extremely quickly in the minors and looks very promising, I also think this is where it's fair to be critical of the organization and therefore of Farhan, since he's the one running the show. When he took over, we were kind of sold on this idea of quote unquote assembly line of prospects like he had done in Oakland and then in Los Angeles with the Dodgers. And while we've seen some young promising players like we've already talked about, I don't think we're really close to that promised vision. We're not in like the top five of organizational farm rankings, which, I mean, those have flaws themselves, but if they had just this high-end top farm system, I think we would know it, and I just don't think we're there yet. Add to that the struggles of Marco Luciano and Luis Matos. I think it's fair to criticize, or at least question, maybe criticize is too far, but at least question and potentially criticize the player development. I'm kind of towing the line there because some of that is on the organization, some of it is on the player, and we just don't know enough to know where that lies. But it's at least fair to question the player development, which again falls under Farhan's purview. Okay, so all that being said, modernized the organizational infrastructure. I think the farm system, while not a great farm system, we're starting to see the fruits of the drafts and the international prospects. Part of the reason why the farm system might not be ranked super high is because they've graduated some of these guys that would have been prospects if not for already being in the major leagues. Like, you know, Patrick Bailey had, what, like 50 games above high A before he was the major league catcher, stuff like that. So that could be a reason why the Giants farm system isn't ranked super highly. But again, I think it's still not close to that vision that we were sold on. But as far as the major league roster is concerned, Farhan took over and had to rebuild everything, all while not tanking at the major league level. The Giants ownership did not want to go through a full teardown and rebuild. The goal was to stay quasi-competitive while also going through a rebuild. And that's That's a tall order. That is not easy to do, but it's very clear that ownership did not want to have, you know, 100 lost seasons to go after higher draft picks, which is funny because just a couple seasons before that, they almost had 100 lost season while trying to be competitive. But anyways, and I think he's succeeded at that. The Giants have hovered right around 500. If things break a little bit differently here or there, maybe they get a few games above 500. Maybe they sneak in the playoffs. And that's not to mention the lightning in a bottle season that they had in 2021, where literally everything they did, every button they pushed, every lever they pulled went right. And that was extremely fun from a fan's perspective, even if it did mess up fan expectations of where the Giants currently sat in their rebuild. I think after that season, fans thought, okay, rebuild's over, sign free agents, let's get this thing going. And I think correctly, the Giants front office self-assessed that they weren't ready yet. That while they caught that lightning in a bottle season, they didn't have that young core coming up to then supplement the superstar free agents with. So I think that was the right assessment. It makes for a pretty mundane, if not boring, major league season year in and year out, hovering right around 500. But as far as what was right for the organization, I think they made the right move. If they were to try to have pushed all the chips in after that 2021 season, it would have been like pushing all the chips in after that 2016 season when they limped to the playoffs and had like the best record before the All-Star break and the worst record after. And then they would have just been plugging holes in the dam with Band-Aids. You know, it just I just don't think it would have worked out. So I think it was the right approach. That doesn't mean it's not frustrating for fans. I would have liked them to have been better over the last couple of seasons. But as far as from a real high level view, I do think that was the right call. I am a little bit biased. I typically like the approach to roster construction that Farhan has. He gets a lot of solid players for next to nothing, and then typically supplements that with either young prospects, good free agent signings, or both. I think he did the first part. He added a lot of average to solid players without giving up much at all. You know, think about Lamont Wade Jr., Tyro Estrada before he kind of fell out of favor, Mike Yastrzemski. Those were all solid players that were basically free from an acquisition perspective. The second part of that, supplementing that with young prospects, as I mentioned, I think the jury's still out. And as far as the lack of free agents, kind of what I was just talking about after that 2021 season, I don't think they were ready to go after free agents while they were still in that soft rebuild mode. I also don't believe this wasn't for lack of trying. Now, you don't get any awards for trying, but between Judge, who was always going back to the Yankees, Carlos Correa, who spent most of the time on the injured list since finally signing with the Twins after both the Giants and Mets deals fell through, Shohei was always going to the Dodgers, Yamamoto was always going to the Dodgers, and has also spent a good chunk of the season being hurt. I don't think we can blame Farhan for those. Were there other moves to be made? Maybe, but there are 30 teams going after one player. Well, maybe not 30 in some cases, but, you know, let's say 10 after every free agent. And then the free agent has to choose the team. You know, it's not just binary. It's not Giants or no. It's Giants or the field, right? And mathematically speaking, they're going to take the field. You know, I think the Matt Chapman extension is a signal that they finally believe that they're through the rebuild. And I really do think that going into next season, that they're going to do whatever they can to really fill out the major league roster. You know, sign one of the top shortstop free agents, hopefully sign one of the top end pitching free agents, whether that's Blake Snell or Corbin Burns or something like that. I really do think that the Chapman extension was a signal that they think that they're ready to do that. All that being said, back to that original quote that kind of inspired me to go on this long rant. Whoever takes over as player of baseball operations will have a good landing spot in a great situation to succeed compared to where the franchise was when Farhan took over. No horrible contracts, plenty of money to spend, and young players ready for big roles. I think even without the success that Giants fans, myself included, wanted at the major league level, that Farhan has done a good job rebuilding and modernizing the organization from the top down. And for that, I personally hope he gets one more year to see if they can make it count at the major league level. We'll see if that happens. Kind of sounds like it won't happen, that he'll be out after this season. I think rightfully so. They've made up their mind a while ago, even though the Giants are playing well right now. I don't think how they're playing right now should influence a decision of this magnitude, but the Giants are playing well, and you can kind of see the vision for this season, right? It was good pitching, good defense, and good enough hitting to win some ball games, and they've played great against teams that are borderline, if not guaranteed, in the playoffs. So again, I don't think this winning streak should sway that decision one way or the other, but it would just be kind of ironic if the vision finally starts to solidify and then they've already made that decision. Again, I am a fan of the way he constructs rosters, so I would be a little bummed out if they moved on. We'll see who they replace him with. Hopefully it'll just signal a turning point for this organization and we can get back to winning some more ball games and maybe get into the playoffs, because that's fun. We as fans would like to see that. So, all right, thanks for listening. I think I'll be back at the end of this season to kind of recap the season and go over some of the bold predictions that I made earlier this year, which have not looked good. So stay tuned for that, and I'll catch you on the next one. You can find us on social media at Third and King Shop, or you can visit our website where you can buy shirts, check out our blog at thirdandking.shop. Thanks.